Thanks for listening to the best of the Ben Maller Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 2 to 6 Eastern, 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And to find your local station for the Ben Maller Show at foxsportsradio.com, you can find it there. Or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the best of the Ben Maller Show on Fox Sports Radio.
So we'll get to the Nationals, who are into the World Series, in a minute, but I wanted to start with the American League game because that series is somewhat compelling. The National League was not compelling at all. Good night. See you later. The St. Louis Cheating Cardinals. Woo-wee. Damn, were they bad. Brutal. 7 runs. We'll get to that, though. But Gerrit Cole in the American League game, the day game, at Yankee Stadium, depending on your time zone, was really early. But Gerrit Cole twirling 7 shutout innings. And he wasn't the dominant Gerrit Cole that he had been in his previous start, meaning that the Yankees actually had opportunities to push through some runs. But all that matters is the result. 7 shutout innings. The Astros take a 2-1 lead in the American League Championship Series by defeating the Yankees. The final, if you saw it, was 4-1 in favor of the Astros. Jose Altuve and Josh Reddick. Man, imagine, Altuve is a good player, but Reddick, you gave him a home. Man, that guy played for the Dodgers a couple years ago. What a stiff. You know, these guys, they go to these other teams. Howie Kendrick, stiff with the Dodgers. They go to these other teams. All of a sudden, they hit. What's up with that? Must be something in the water there at Dodger Stadium. These guys can't hit. They're all a bunch of bums and whatnot. But anyway, listen, the Houston needs to, still 2 more wins. They do that. They're in the American League a pennant, and they're in the World Series, blah, 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 and they'll take on the Washington Nationals. So let us discuss. Now, the better story is in the losing locker room. So the question, how much trouble are the New York Yankees in the American League Championship Series, down now 2-1? Now, my thoughts on this, you've got surgical, bubble bath, and dogs. And we will combine all of these things together. Now, A, the Astros followed the battle plan perfectly, especially early in this game, and that set the tone for the rest of the game. As the road team, I've preached about this for years, when you are the road team in the baseball playoffs, or it doesn't work as much in basketball because everyone's scoring in basketball, but in baseball and in football, if you're as a road team, if you can score first, you have a competitive edge, especially in baseball because you play from the lead. You put more pressure on the other team. The Astros jumped ahead on the Jose Altuve homer in the top of the first. They added another run in the second on the Reddick home run, and that helped calm the waters around the Astros. It's much easier to be a front runner when you've got the lead and all that. Obviously, you're in a good situation. But Houston had a surgical attack. Luis Severino simply was not good enough. He got into the fifth inning, the Yankee starting pitcher. But if you saw the game, he was unable to match Gerrit Cole pitch for pitch, which is, you know, no surprise because Severino's not as good as Gerrit Cole. He got pulled after 97 pitches in this game. Now, the Yankee strategy going into the game was, all right, we're going to either be a tie game, one-run game, and then get Cole out of the game and pillage the Astros bullpen, and that's supposedly the weakest link. How's that going? Not so good. So then when the Astros tacked on a couple of other runs in the seventh inning, it was turn out the lights, the party's over for the New York Yankees. They had no chance of coming back. And so Gerrit Cole, who has been better than this, this was not his masterpiece, but still pretty damn good. He's now 3-0 with a 0.4 ERA in 3 postseason starts. Someone let Clayton Kershaw know that another pitcher has passed him by on the list of success in the baseball postseason. Just let him know. I don't know if Kershaw's aware of that. He's probably still sucking his thumb in the fetal position after the Washington Nationals emasculated him in the National League Divisional Series. And the other thing about Gerrit Cole is this is the end of the line. He's in his final days in Houston. It is not expected that the Astros are going to pay him $200 million. And so whenever his final appearance is, which could be in the World Series, he will be pitching for somebody else next year. He'll be playing for the Angels or the Phillies or the Rangers or somebody like that. But Coop really wants him with the Angels. But he ain't going to be with the Astros. And so this could be the last of the – you think about how dominant the Astros have been this year with Verlander and Cole. And you take Cole out of the equation. Now they'll replace him with somebody else. But this could be the final hurrah for the Astros as far as a dominant, dominant team. Now part B of this, the Yankees – They went to Steinbrenner's Bag of Tricks. Now, I've told this story before, but years ago when I did some radio work with the Dodgers, and I used to hang out with some of the guys at one point we had a lot of guys that used to play for the Yankees that were on the team, and they would regale me with stories about George Steinbrenner and the old Yankee Stadium and how they really believed, and these are some guys that were on those great Yankee teams in the 1990s, they believed that in the postseason, umpires specifically were afraid on 50-50 pitches, meaning go either way, to call strikes against the Yankees. Called strikes, meaning that the way you could get the Yankees out, you had to get them to either hit into outs or swing and miss. But if it was close, it was a borderline pitch, they would not. Call that a strike. So, but the Yankees went into Steinbrenner's Bag of Tricks, or the old Steinbrenner, because you saw the home plate umpire, Jeff Nelson, he got hit in the mask, but he got beat up by the foul balls, Martin Maldonado in particular there, in the top of the fourth inning. And then, before the fifth inning, Nelson tapped out. He said, I can't do it anymore. I got to get out of here. And that led to a rather lengthy delay, the old switcheroo, if you will, of the umpires. Now, second base umpire Kerwin Danley took over behind home plate. If you look at the tail of the tape, you know how long it took for them to change umpires? 18 minutes. 18 minutes for the umpire to change clothes. I don't know about you, but I can change clothes in about a minute, if not less than a minute. But 18-minute delay. I know, oh, there's got pads they've got to put on. I have no evidence and no proof that the umpire, Kerwin Danley, did not also take a 10-minute bubble bath when the delay was going on. It's possible that he did take a 10-minute bubble bath. It is possible. So, listen, Gerrit Cole was off the mound for 32 minutes. That's where we go to Steinbrenner's Bag of Tricks. You're like, all right, 32-minute pause. He returns to the mound, and it didn't matter. The Yankees kept failing with runners in scoring position, which set the Bronx Bombers up for a ton of incompetence. Now, in the first inning, DJ LeMahieu and Aaron Judge led off. Now, you thought, well, Altuve hits a home run. You're like, okay, 1-0, but the Yankees can come back. And then right away, you get two guys on with singles in LeMahieu and Aaron Judge, and the Yankees are set up. They got runners on first and second, nobody out. And they're ready to exploit, jump all over Gerrit Cole, first thing and all that, going to explode. And then the Yankees were down to two out, you know, down two outs on three pitches. Three pitches after they get the first two guys on with base hits, a pop fly by Brett Gardner and a pop up by Edwin Encarnacion, our guy. And the Yankees were 0-6 with runners in scoring position. Now, the Astros actually weren't good either with runners in scoring position, but the Yankees left nine runners on base. And how about Adam Ottavino? Boy, this guy said he could strike out Babe Ruth back in the day. Adam Ottavino, who is code for suck. It's appropriate that he wears number zero on his uniform because that's about what he's providing the Yankees. Zero. Man, is he bad. And gave up those back-breaking runs in combo with some other relief pitchers there in the seventh inning. All right, so the last word on this. While the loss, obviously a blow to the Yankees in the micro. In the macro, this does not actually change things that much. And I'm going to tell you why. Really, this is a case of the status quo. And what I mean by that is the Bronx Bombers need to be dogs, right? As that old college football coach said back in the day, they don't need no meows and all that. They need no cats. They need more dogs. The Yankees. And attack dogs, not watchdogs, attack dogs. Because the Yankees formula, they already beat Greinke one time. Now they got to beat him again. And then they've got to do well in the other game not started by Verlander. And this is where it gets muddled in the next couple of days. If they've got to, if they can beat Greinke again and then win the game against the Astros bullpen, that gets them to three wins. So they've already gone through Verlander and Cole twice, you know, once each, and lost both those games. So they're going to have to find a way to win one of the games against Verlander or Cole, or they're not going to win the American League pennant. It's that simple. So the fact that they lost to Gerrit Cole, it gives them one less bullet in chamber, one less opportunity to win this particular series. But when it gets muddled, the Yankees are scheduled to host the Astros in Game 4 of the ALCS on Wednesday night at 8:08. On Fox Sports 1, FS1. However, there is not 1 but 2 inches of rain forecast to fall in New York City. And they estimate the heaviest part of the rain will happen around first pitch. So baseball, you might wake up, you know, I'm doing overnight, so when I wake up, the game might already be canceled. And there's no National League game, so that's the only game in town because the Nationals made quick work out of the Cardinals. So in case the game is rained out, Game 4 would move to Thursday, and that would actually help the Yankees a little bit. They could bring back Tanaka on an extra day's rest, and the Astros, I assume, will bring back Zach Greinke. But if the game is played on Wednesday night, according to media reports, it's just going to be a bullpen game for both teams, which is just blows me away. I know I'm old, but I think of bullpen games as like spring training games, and this is the American League Championship Series, and both teams are planning on going with a bullpen game. I mean, it's just nuts. Let's hear from Aaron effing Boone. Aaron Boone, the manager of the Yankees there, who was, well, he was in a good mood after that Yankee offense took it on the chin.
It's obviously a little frustrating we weren't able to break through with them, but I think, you know, up and down, we gave ourselves a chance. And anytime you're facing a guy like that, you want that kind of traffic. And we had that in several innings. He made big pitches when he had to. You know, I thought DJ had a really good swing on a ball he hit to center.
So yesterday we took a phone call from a guy. I'm convinced it was a punk phone call that we were getting pranked. But this guy loved Gary Sanchez. You remember this call? I don't know if you remember the call. I remember the call. Guy loved Gary Sanchez. Right, just, he's a guy from Texas, all freaking out because Gary Sanchez. And blew me away, I know. It was like, what is this? Well, I don't know if you've been noticing, if you've been paying close attention here. Not only is Gary Sanchez a catcher, he is also batting 077. He sucks.
Barbie.
And here is Aaron Boone commenting on the fact that Gary Sanchez has some work to do.
I'm seeing Gary miss some pitches. I felt like he got another good one to hit today and put it on the net again. You know, he's got to take advantage of, you know, especially when you're, you know, facing a team like this with pitching like they have, when you do get a ball that you can handle, you've got to make sure it gets in play with authority and not on the net.
Yeah.
Future Dodger Gary Sanchez. Freeman will trade for him.
Don't say that. Come on. Don't. Well, if he is batting 077, though, that is he will fit right in that Dodger clubhouse. They don't want to get guys that are actually good in the playoffs.
Yankees are trading for him. Freeman will pick him up. I guarantee it.
Yeah. All right. Well, and as far as the National League, listen, I know there's not much to say. The Nationals, we knew this was preordained. I mean, we knew a couple days ago that, yeah, Nationals were going to win, and they did. And so congratulations to them. They've won the National League pennant. And, you know, continues to add more of a gut punch to me and Roberto and people like me, but that's fine. The long-suffering Washington Nationals fans who've only existed since the start of 2005. I know that a lot of people are trying to make them the Expos. The Expos, to me, died when they there's no more Expos. I know they're trying to keep the tradition going and all that. Shut up. And really, congratulations go out to the Seattle Mariners, who are now the last of the Mohegans, literally. The Seattle Mariners are the only team that has failed to get to the Fall Classic, and they ain't even close to sniffing the World Series. So this is going to go on. The Mariners franchise started in 1977, and that was the beginning of their existence, and they are nowhere near even having a chance of making the playoffs or get the World Series. So they are done. And I would also like to address, listen, a lot of people made a big deal about the Nationals being 19-31. That was a theme on the broadcast over the last couple of days here. And they, as late as May 24th, they were horrible. And this is the exception to the rule. The problem I have is the teams are going to say, well, then we can't trade anyone. We got to keep everyone together. Most of the time in baseball history, when you fall 12 games under 500, your season is over. In fact, what's my evidence? So the Nationals are the third team in the past century to get to the World Series after being 12 games under 500. There's only been two other teams that have been able to do it. And that was the Astros of 05 and the 1973 New York Metropolitans. That's it. Period. Stop. That's the list. In the last century, three teams. So I don't want to hear about, oh, well, you can never give up on a season. No, you can't actually give up on a season. It can't happen. So, I mean, that's great they got to the World Series. They're going to be killed in the World Series. It doesn't mean I won't be pulling for them if they play the Astros, but they're going to get destroyed.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
So another day and some more wisdom from LeBron James, the smartest man in the room. LeBron, not only did he step in it the other day, he has now said, you know what, I want to go back. I think I missed a spot. I want to step more into it. And I don't know if you've heard the latest developments or not, but here's what happened. So hours after LeBron James described the Rockets general manager Daryl Morey as not educated and misinformed because he supported Hong Kong with a tweet and then was forced to apologize from the NBA and all that. Well, hours after that, the people of Hong Kong apparently got the word and burn, baby, burn. They were burning those LeBron James jerseys on the streets of Hong Kong, the protesters, using him as a symbol of the Chinese government, as LeBron has aligned himself with the Chinese government. And it was just wild. Now, I saw was of like an old school Miami Heat LeBron jersey, which I think you can get real cheap, you know, probably real cheap, right? Because he's not worn that in a long time. And you think of LeBron with the Cavaliers. Now he's with the Lakers and all that. But the videos are not hard to find of the burning of the LeBron James merchandise and whatnot. So that's the new development. Now, the protesters all upset. And they got out the gasoline, the matches, then burn, baby, burn, as we said. And it seems the geopolitical King James failed to read the temperature in the room. Or maybe he didn't fail to read the temperature in the room. Maybe this was his intention all the way along. Now, I know there's a lot of toadies in the LeBron, pro-LeBron media that are either avoiding this topic because the company that they work for won't allow them to talk about it, or they support LeBron James. So LeBron, after saying what he said on Monday, came back on Tuesday and said, you know what? I would like to double down. I would like to double down. He addressed the media again on Tuesday. He took several additional questions about China at the Lakers practice, and he was asked specifically how he reacted to protesters burning his jersey in Hong Kong. And LeBron James used a line from Bill Belichick's playbook when asked that loaded question. As Warner Wolf would say, let's go to the audio tape.
I also don't think that every issue should be everybody's problem as well. You know, so, you know, when things come up, there's multiple things that we haven't talked about that happen in our own country that we don't bring up.
Yeah, so that's a little spin from LeBron. Now, here's more from LeBron James saying that he was taken out of context.
That's why I wanted to kind of clarify what you know, what my thoughts was and what my words were. So that tends to happen with me. I understand that.
Oh, he's the victim.
That every word that I say is going to be broken down on however you feel or you see. I said it, you know, so it comes with the territory, but that's okay with me.
Yeah. Now, do we have that other clip, Koopaloop, that I sent you? That one I think is better because you could hear the question and his response, how he reacted to the protest. He was asked specifically about the protesters burning the jersey. All right. Anyway, we'll try to get that. I thought I did send that to Koop. But anyway, all right. So we'll hear that later. But trust me, LeBron, his response, he said he quoted essentially Belichick. He said he had not seen the video, which is total fertilizer. I mean, it's a total lie. All right, so let's discuss. Now, how much damage has LeBron caused by doubling and tripling down on his defense of the People's Republic of China against Hong Kong? Now, my observations here, you've got the children's novel, the space-time continuum, and donkey. And we will combine these things together. Now, number one.
Number one.
LeBron James has been exposed. We said this the other day as LaFraud. He has been seen that in a different light now, and he is digging himself a deeper grave. He's got the shovel, and he's putting dirt over his shoulder, and he's digging deeper and deeper. Now, ironically, the Chinese have dug a few graves themselves for enemies of the state. So it's appropriate that LeBron's now digging his own grave because I believe I've read online that sometimes in those camps the Chinese government has, they'll have people dig their own graves so they can throw their bodies in there. So it's a very effective way to do it. But I have my secret Dakota ring from my Cracker Jacks box when I was a kid, and I can translate the spin cycle. When LeBron James, we'll play the soundbite a little bit later, but when LeBron James said, hit home for me, which he did in one of the clips. I don't think one of the ones we played, but that's really my bank account is what he was talking about, right? He's talking about, listen, it hit home with me because I saw how much money. I'm like a partner on the board, the executive board of Nike. I can't be messing around with China. I cannot do it. Now, if he was a character, LeBron James from a children's novel, you know what he would be? Pinocchio. He would be Pinocchio, right? Carved by the Chinese wood carver, LeBron James, the great Pinocchio. Now, we know that he's not being honest here. He knows what's going on. This was a trending topic on Tuesday. And LeBron James, even if you love LeBron James, you know he is obsessed with how he is perceived. And most people are like that, right? We all have the same frailties as human beings. But LeBron has been in the spotlight since he was in high school, and he is very conscious of how he is perceived. He absolutely is, and he likes to brag about how smart he is, and he speaks with a very logical standpoint, things that hit home for him. Suddenly, he apparently swallowed stupid pills. But this wouldn't be a problem, and it bears repeating, it would not be a problem if LeBron had not positioned himself on the bully pulpit as the smartest man in the room, a real social justice warrior. And all these NBA social justice warriors have now defended China and slammed critics of communism. The same people that were very outspoken about these issues in America, suddenly, when it comes to communism, I'm down with it, man. It's not that bad. You know, the trains run on time. A lot of work gets done. It's good for commerce. And no problem. No problem at all. Not exactly a modern-day Muhammad Ali. Now, King James has gotten on his soapbox many, many times. The quote, which still resonates here, he said, when you see something that's unjust or you see something that's wrong, LeBron said, I feel like my voice, he said, can be heard and speak volumes, especially coming from a point of sports. Well, apparently LeBron did not read the fine print on that because he added on terms and conditions and exceptions. There are exceptions to his opinion mattering and all that. So fighting the good fight for the impoverished, turns out when it comes to Nike and the NBA, and LeBron James obviously has sung a much different tune here on this. It's all about the Benjamins, which is my theme song. It's all about the Benjamins. LeBron James pushes hard on social justice in America, but when it comes to overseas, he's all about pushing for those profits, right? He wants those profits. And again, if he hadn't put himself in a different light, it wouldn't be like everyone pointing saying you're a hypocrite. But in reality, if LeBron was really worried about the safety, and then that's what he intimated on Monday, earlier this week, he was concerned about the player safety and the NBA traveling personnel safety, reporters that work for NBA TV outlets and whatnot in China, then the NBA, by that alone, should end all business relations with China. If you can't even go to that country and have somebody tweet something out without, in America, not even there, they have their own social media, social network, which is not Twitter, and that's, I mean, what are you doing? It's bananas is what it is. It's nuts. You know, among the evil things the world has said of China that they are, and this is, you know, LeBron, I don't think he was taken out of context here. He's said it multiple times. He did not want to comment on China, which is the act of not commenting when he comments on everything else is supporting the communist Chinese propaganda. He kind of parroted some of that. But if you look at the things that China's been accused of, harvesting organs, which is brutal, concentration camps and things like that, this is a simple numbers game for LeBron. LeBron is worried about 1.4 billion people. That's the population of China. And that's 1.4 billion potential customers. Hong Kong has 7.3 million people that live in it. So do the analysis here. You got 1.4 billion or 7.3 million. And you're a businessman, and that's LeBron. It's like I always say that everyone's got a sliding scale of morality when it comes to money, right? And people, very rarely do you find someone who's not like that. LeBron's no different, right? It's the same concept we talk about with the Magic Christian. You know, everyone's got a price, you know, and everyone's got a price, and people will do things they would never do if the dollar amount is big enough. And so that's where you are right now. It's freaking business, right? That's LeBron's standpoint. It's freaking business. Now, two, there's a lot of technicalities involved in this. There's a lot of tentacles, I guess is a better way to say it, in this story. Now, one of my favorite parts has been the LeBron James sheep, his former teammates, his advocates in the media who are trying to help grease the skids here and have LeBron get a safe landing and King James help him get out of this boiling pot of water that he finds himself in. Did you see Kendrick Perkins? Kendrick Perkins, former LeBron teammate, called Daryl Morey selfish in his defense of LeBron's China comments. It's pretty good. What's the first rule of business? I believe it's know the customer, right? You got to know the customer. And by not speaking at all against China or in support of Hong Kong and the rights for freedom from China, LeBron has bunkered down with the Communist Party of China. He's more worried about selling all of those shoes and movie tickets and all the other crap that he's trying to sell in China. And I get it. In America, I mentioned there's 7.3 million people in Hong Kong. In the United States, there's 330 million, give or take, right? Depending on, you know, the day. 330 million people in America. There's 1.4 billion again in China. So there are more NBA fans in China and more LeBron James supposed fans in China than there are in the entire United States. Because not all 330 million Americans love the NBA. There's a lot of people that don't like the NBA. They want nothing to do with it. But in terms of the fallout, you can say, well, LeBron is tone deaf, at least how this plays out in America. And this is arguably the most polarizing time we have, not that this is a political show, but in American politics, right? And LeBron James has done the impossible. It is stunning. He has managed to defy the space-time continuum and gotten bipartisan rebukes from both Democrats and Republicans. And it continues. Now, I understand a lot of these politicians are opportunists, and they know LeBron's a star, and they can say stuff about him, and they'll get some attention, and it'll get written about on these websites and in newspapers and things like that. I understand that. But the vast majority of people stand in support of Hong Kong, at least in America, trying to be free, fighting to at least determine for themselves over the next, I think it's 50 years from the time the deal was made with China. But whatever the timeline on that is, rather than be robots with China. All right, so the final point here. So this story has legs. It ain't going away. LeBron says he will not discuss the China situation anymore. He said, that's it, finito, done. But this is going to make him look more like a donkey because LeBron James is now a symbol for the protesters in Hong Kong, and he is going to be shadowed by this story, at least for the short term and probably the long term, because there will be a lot of unrest. I don't see this ending anytime soon. There's going to be more violence. There'll be the Chinese government's going to crack down on the people of Hong Kong. There'll be people dying, very publicly dying, and being broadcast on the internet. And those that aren't killed will be beaten up and sent to the Huzgao and all that in China. And suddenly Laura Ingraham doesn't sound like such a loon, right? When she said to LeBron James, shut up and dribble, because essentially LeBron James told Daryl Morey to shut up and dribble, and it's delayed, but it appears LeBron James is finally taking that advice, and he is wishing he had just shut up and dribbled on China. Sounds like he's now going down that road, and the NBA, again, this is the thing, the NBA, all these woke NBA stars who, whatever moral authority they thought they had over the last couple of years, it is the big ones, the Mount Rushmore of social justice warriors in the NBA, Popovich, Kerr, LeBron, and I think those are the big three. But then you had James Harden, who's not really out there, but said he loves the Chinese. We should play. We got to get that as a drop. We played that last week. We got to find that. That's a great James Harden drop. Absolutely.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific. It's Maller.
How about that?
To the third degree. Fire. This is when Big Ben gets grilled.
And the Coop Dalu.
Ben, there was a report on Monday that there is speculation that Cam Newton could be made available for trade.
Yeah.
One AFC general manager said that the market would be robust for Newton.
Yeah.
Ben, chances that this happens, and if it does, what could the Panthers get for him?
Well, I think there's a very good chance that Cam Newton is playing his final season with Carolina. I'd go as far as to say there's an 80% chance that he's playing somewhere else next year. And here's why. A, Cam Newton was already walking on eggshells in terms of his status with the Panthers. He's got 1 year left on his contract, and Newton has not exactly been Mr. Reliable for the Carolina Panthers. Even when he's played, you can't depend on him. Kyle Allen has been everything that Cam Newton was supposed to be, and it seems like this has been a once-in-a-blue-moon type situation at quarterback for Carolina, but he's been a top-10 quarterback, top-5 quarterback in some of the numbers since he took over for Cam Newton. I saw some of the other coaches, I think it was the coach of the Buccaneers, one of their coaches said that Carolina's tougher to play with Kyle Allen than Cam Newton. Some people can't wrap their heads around that because they love Cam Newton because he used to win he won the MVP and all that. But I've long pointed out, not the only one, Cam Newton's accuracy has been a problem. He makes a lot of bonehead plays during games. Now, as far as where he's going to go, keep an eye on the obvious one would be the Tennessee Titans. Right? Tennessee, Carolina, it's move him to an AFC team in Tennessee. Cincinnati likely will move on from Andy Dalton. That's a possibility. The Washington Redskins are always a landing spot for a quarterback such as Cam Newton. He's got a big salary cap number, but compared to other quarterbacks, it would actually be a bargain for 1 year. And Carolina, as far as what they could get for him, let's see, Jalen Ramsey's like a top 15 player, top 20 player. Rams guy, Jacksonville got two first-round picks. Cam Newton's not a top 10 quarterback most of the time. I would say Carolina could get a second and a fourth round pick. I think that's a reasonable return, something along those lines, for a damaged middle-aged quarterback. All right, next!
Through six games this year, Baker Mayfield has 11 interceptions. He leads the league since the start of last year with 25.
Congratulations.
Ben, the Browns and the city of Cleveland have a lot invested in Mayfield.
Yeah.
How long of a leash do you give him?
Well, what I really feel bad for is Madison Avenue, because they seem to have a lot invested in Baker Mayfield. They put their cart up to that horse, and that's not going so well. A couple of thoughts. Now, number one, Baker Mayfield has Supreme Court justice job security. Outside of getting hurt, he is, for better or worse, the Browns quarterback for the rest of 2019, come hell or high water. You cannot turn on an NFL game, even when the Browns aren't playing, without seeing Baker Mayfield pitching some product, running a lawnmower in the Browns stadium, cleaning up trash in the Browns stadium. It is sensory overload, which would not be an issue if he was good. But he hasn't been good. He's been terrible, and he has these hissy fits and temper tantrums and all that. Now, secondly, Freddie Kitchens. He was brought in as the hand-picked coach for Baker Mayfield. He cannot bench him. He's going to lose his job. Now, he likely will lose his job anyway, But you would admit defeat if you bench Baker Mayfield. They are boxed into a corner. Plus, you know what the plan B option is now? If you look at the Browns' depth chart, Garrett Gilbert is plan B. He's the backup quarterback. You know how many times he's been put on waivers in his career? 8 times he's been put on waivers. He's the backup quarterback for the Browns. Good luck on that. All right, next.
All right, Ben, the onside kick is effectively extinct in today's NFL. Teams are 0-16 this season when attempting an onside kick.
That's not good.
Yep, no, this is thanks to the league's new kickoff rules implemented for safety reasons.
Yeah.
So, Ben, it's unlikely that those rules will ever get reversed, so something different has to be done if we want this element of the game back. The short-lived AAF tried something where the scoring team could try converting a 4th-and-12 from their own 28 to keep possession.
Yeah.
What do you think about something like that?
Well, I don't have a problem with it. I think, first of all, they should just go back to the old rules. They won't do that. They seem to think that these lawsuits from former players are going to stop on a dime if they've changed all the rules and all that. But I would say it doesn't matter. Opportunistic lawyers are going to continue to file legal papers against the NFL because they know they can get some money and pillage the bank accounts of the NFL. The onside kick has gone the way of the dodo bird. And it's gone from one of the most exciting plays in football, the anticipation of flesh meeting flesh as far as the humanity of it and the violence of that play and the change of possession possibility, to now the most predictable, boring play in football. Now, secondly, the 4th-and-12 thing sounds gimmicky because it is gimmicky, but it is better than the current setup. It's nearly impossible to recover onside kicks. It's not just this year. In 2017, you had a 21% chance. In 2018, you had a 7% chance. And this year, you have a 0% chance. And if not the 4th-and-12 plan, how about cutting the distance a ball has to travel on an onside kick? I don't think I would be opposed to that. Instead of 10 yards, how about 8 or 7 yards, something along those lines? I think that would be fair as also. I'm not against them drop kicks and all kinds of other nonsense. They got to do something. All right, that is it, right? Mallard of the third degree. How did we do?
Ben, you passed us today.
That is a winner. Put it on the board. Yes.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Attention, everyone.
And the password is...
Password. You idiot.
Password, the word game of the stars.
Here's Ben Maller.
And away we go. It is password time, brought to you by Discover Card. We treat you like you'd treat you. And our apologies to Marcel in Brooklyn, who got bumped from the show because we talked to Eddie. It's a bad job by Eddie calling in, taking Marcel's valuable airtime for food picks. So, Marcel, if you want to call in tomorrow, I know you don't normally call in on that day, but we'll give you some time for the food picks. But right now, let's get the password, the word game of the stars. We've got JJ in Renton. Hello, JJ.
Yeah, what's going on, Ben?
Are you coming in here, JJ?
Man, I got to check in with the baby mama and see how we set up everything when we get down there.
Oh, that's a no. Yeah, that's a no. You are not coming in here.
I didn't say it was a no. I told Coop I'll call you guys tomorrow night.
All right, you'll be in L.A. tomorrow? Is that right?
Yeah. My flight lands at 3:30 at LAX.
Yeah, good luck. Yeah, rush right in the middle of rush hour.
I know.
It'll take you 7 hours to get to Anaheim from LAX. I hope you have a wonderful time. Yeah, I'm not kidding, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
My mom's been down there a few times. She already let us know.
There's nothing more enjoyable than the 405 freeway at rush hour around that South Bay curve. Yeah, it's just paradise. All right, hold on a sec, JJ. We're going to have you play. Who else do we have? Ralph in Florida wants to play. Hello, Ralph.
Hey, what's up?
What's going on, Ralph? Can you pick up the phone there? No speakerphone, Ralph. Maybe you can't pick the phone up. That's too hard. Oh, there you go. All right, Ralph, what do you do for a living, Ralph? We know JJ works for the government. What do you do?
I drive around and sell wine to all the high-end restaurants here in Florida.
Nice. All right. Very good. Well, let's play the game. JJ, who do you want to partner up with, JJ?
I'm going to go with Coop again.
All right, JJ and Coop. Ralph, the wine guy. Who do you want to partner up with, Ralph? You got me, Ben. You got Brian Finley.
It's going to be you, Ben. It's a no-brainer. Come on.
It's a good job by you, Ralph. Look at that. Like a bottle of the finest wine you can possibly sell. All right. Well, very good there. Let's play the game. We have a list of words, 1 to 10. JJ, you were on the air first. Pick a number, 1 to 10. Coop, you will go first with JJ.
I'll go with number 7.
Number 7. All right.
All right, let's go with debate.
Debate, argument.
Come on.
All right. Yeah. The word was argue, but you gave the extended dance remix. All right, let's move on. Go ahead, Ralph, pick a number.
Number 4.
Number 4. All right, let's see here. Couple different ways.
Don't mess up again, Ben.
You keep your mouth shut, JJ, okay? You keep your mouth shut. I'll do what I got to do, okay? I'll do what I have to do. How about, let's go with shield.
Shield.
Yeah, shield.
Barrier.
No. All right, go ahead, Coop. Listen to the password, the word game of the star.
Let's see. Let's go with,
take your time.
I'm gonna check with the judges here.
Oh, well, if you biased judge.
Well, I was gonna check with you, but you are biased, so you'll probably say no.
Go ahead. Go ahead. I'll turn my mic. Oh, okay.
Is that
I think that's
words?
Two words, is actually. That? I do think that's two words. I'm not pulling
okay.
your chain.
Okay, let's go with Kevlar. Oh.
Kevlar? Teflon?
No.
All right. Okay. He said Kevlar. How about body?
Armor.
Boom. Oh. All right. Good job by you. All right. What was that, like 7? Something like that? All right, 7.
I believe it was 8.
8? Oh, look at you. Cool.
That was
giving
4.
Me
it was 4.
JJ, don't choke, JJ. You got a 1-point lead. Don't blow it. Let's move on. Another word here. JJ and Renton, pick a number, not 7 or 4, but any other number between 1 and 10.
I'll go with 3.
Number 3. All right.
All right, let's go with rotate.
Rotate.
Rotate. Circumference.
Wow. I love the fact that you even knew that word, JJ. That's impressive. But no.
That's better than 80% of the listeners.
Yeah, that's too big a word. We would never have that word because most of our listeners have no clue what that word is.
Too big of a word.
Yeah, trust me, it is. All right, you got to know the audience. Let's go with, how about whirl? W-H-I-R-L, whirl.
Ben, what was the first clue?
What did you say, Coop? I don't remember. Don't worry about that.
Spin.
Yeah, that's it. He got it right. That's it. We're out of time. That's a walk-off win. You lost, JJ. Ralph, you win.
Oh, whatever,
clock shenanigans.
Wine for everybody. Listen, we ran out of time. That's a win for Ralph the wine guy in Florida. And me, winner, 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 winner.